You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Oh, thank you, Al. Appreciate you. Everything is changing, but it's staying the same. Welcome in to a Tuesday, August 29th edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented each and every day by DuPaco Community Credit Union, online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by visiting them at their website. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from his back porch in the southwest side. Andrew with us. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
You are a Tuesday, Thursday guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because Isaac's being learned. Down in Iowa City.
Yeah, as he should. I mean, I might go back, but that's probably not going to happen.
No?
No.
Well, if you do, don't go back and have a Tuesday, Thursday class.
Yeah, yeah. That. I mean, I don't do well in school anyway, so.
Oh, well, great to have you. Great to have you, and you will be here Tuesdays and Thursdays more often than not, so welcome aboard. We got a great show for you. We got a lot to cover. We've got Cal Eldred waiting in the wings. We are going to talk to David Eicholt, covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media earlier on today. Players meeting the media earlier on today in Iowa City. Welcome in, and we greet you here on KGYM 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Mark joining me on a Tuesday afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And Andrew, I can't believe they don't give credit for being on the Gym Class.
Talk to these people. Who's the new president?
President of what?
The university.
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, it escapes me right now, but at any rate, we'll work on that. You deserve credit for being on the program. So, very good idea, yeah. Mark. Good stuff. Of course, the dawning of a new era here on KGYM. We have the Todd Brommelkamp show this morning from 6:30 until 9, and then Spencer on Sports will follow us at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And then we have the Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight for you. The first edition this year, 6:30 until 8. Matt Campbell met the media earlier on today. Reiterates two quarterbacks are more than likely going to play. Five running backs could play, including a true freshman, Abu Sama, the youngster from Southeast Polk. So should be a very interesting day at Jack Trice. Mark, Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier on today. Spencer is cutting up audio as we speak. So we will hear from the head coach of the Hawkeyes coming up a little bit later on today with coaches' cuts. And the big story today about Cade McNamara, Mark. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He's cleared, but we didn't get the 100% yeah, he's going to play, or the 100% no, he's not going to play.
No, it's kind of vague, really, still. Kirk Ferentz said McNamara is questionable, but in the next breath said he is cleared medically to play. And I think Kirk and his staff just want to see how he does out there. Probably won't need to use him any more than they need to. Deacon Hill prepared to come in at quarterback, but we'll see. We'll see come 11 or shortly after on Saturday after morning.
Yeah, Deacon Hill is scheduled to be the number two. And if Cade McNamara can't go, it will be Deacon Hill. Joey Labus is back at practice, but he obviously is not quite ready in the eyes of Kirk Ferentz and the coaches. Noah Shannon's appeal is underway as well. Also had glowing things to say about two receivers. Son of Flipper, Seth Anderson, as well as Caleb Brown. So a little bit of what Kirk had to say today. And as I mentioned, we're going to get more on that coming up with coaches' cuts, and that will be coming up with Spencer between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock here today. The other big news of the day, two pieces of news, and 9 minutes ago, the deadline for the final rosters as far as the National Football League is concerned. 3 o'clock, you had to have your roster of 53 set, or less than 53 if you want to make some moves. There's going to be signings to the practice rosters coming up throughout the night and into the day tomorrow. And we'll get more on that on the Emil Sideway scoreboard update coming up in just a little bit with Mark, brought to you by Emil Sideway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Speaking of the NFL, the knockout pool, of course, is ready to go for you at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Imon Communications. Your chance to win $300 of cold hard cash if you are the last person standing. So get signed up for that. Andrew, you are not eligible, by the way. No matter if you win the thing or not, you are not eligible.
Dang it.
Yeah, I know. Don't spend that $300 yet, buddy.
No.
Don't do it. 319-366-1600. Before we get to Cal Eldred, and we're going to talk to Cal coming up here in just a moment or two. News out of golf today, Mark. Zach Johnson and his assistant captains made their choices, their six captains' picks. And this, unfortunately, it was kind of leaked out a little bit last night who they were going to be. And I don't think it's a big surprise. We thought it was going to be perhaps Lucas Glover, perhaps Keegan Bradley. Those two were passed. And Justin Thomas is on the team.
He is. That's probably the most controversial piece of the equation that was announced this morning by Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson. His captain's picks include Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, and the aforementioned Justin Thomas. Left on the outside looking in, among others, Glover and Bradley, as you mentioned. Maybe Cam Young. Zach Johnson said he made about, probably two dozen other calls to players that were not selected to the team. And each and every year, it's very difficult. I'm concerned about this team that's going to go to battle in late September in Rome against the Europeans. But I kind of like the makeup of this team from several standpoints, and I know we'll be talking more about that down the road.
It comes down to this, Mark, and it comes down to brass tacks, and that is, if Justin Thomas is picked, he's going to play with Jordan Spieth. We know that, and they've had a great record in President's Cups and in Ryder Cups over the years. If the United States wins, those two win, everything's going to be hunky-dory. If they don't, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant.
That's true, and it's been 30 years since the U.S. won on foreign soil in the Ryder Cup. So whether it's Thomas on the team or anyone else, it's going to be difficult. And I find it odd a little bit, and not a point of great criticism, but the European captain's picks do not come until September 4th after a DP World Tour event. But, you know, at this point, Luke Donald, the European captain, can take a look at the American team and say, I'd probably like this matchup, that matchup, whatever. Maybe reading a little too much into it, but I think it'd be cool if they announced their teams the same day.
I think it would be as well. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you on the text line. Available to you again, 319-366-1600. We're going to start things off today by bringing in our first guest, our friend Cal Eldred, to talk Major League Baseball with us as we are about 4-plus weeks away from the finish line as far as the regular season in MLB is concerned. And we got two big Central Division matchups. Cal, good afternoon. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great. And Mark is smiling today because his Twins are now 7-up on the Cleveland Guardians. and looking very, very good. And Spencer is smiling, and I'm sure Todd wasn't as happy because Milwaukee beat the Cubs last night, had a big first and second inning, and the Brewers are now 5-up on the Cubs in the National League Central. And how – I'll ask you, you've been through these before. The Brewers are going to host the Cubs later on. But how big are these series, even though we still have a month remaining in the season?
Well, I think it's one motivating for the team that actually comes out on top. If these teams split these series, it's kind of like, hey, they're good, we're good. Now we got to go do, now we got to go help ourselves against the rest of the league that we need to play. But in the back of their minds, all the players, the coaches, the staff, they understand that they're going to face each other again in Milwaukee. But, you know, Milwaukee coming out swinging the bats like they did early in the game yesterday, that's a big deal. And I think you look at both of these pitching staffs, the offenses have been able to score some runs. But when you look at the pitching staffs, I think that's what's going to ultimately make the difference. But like you said, Scott, I think these games do mean – I know there's only one game in the standings, but to your point, these games do mean a lot head-to-head, especially if Milwaukee can win a series in Chicago and then knowing they got them back in Milwaukee yet.
Yeah, and Burns and Woodruff going yet for the Brewers.
Oof. Yeah, that's the thing. Milwaukee's been able to put Peralta in there. They send out very quality starting pitching right from the get-go. So – the Cubs' offense is going to have to come through.
Cal, the rosters will expand in a couple, 3 days. In your experience, how much of an effect does that have on a team that either a contention for a division or a wild card?
I'm sorry, what comes out?
Oh, except
the rosters.
Yeah, expanded rosters.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I think it's they're trying to control that, and it's, you know, and how they in the past you could call up all 40 guys. Now you can't do that. And I think that it's interesting because you're seeing some of these teams call up some of the speed that they have in the minor leagues. And this is when you'd see the appearance of a Terrence Gore on a roster. So when you need a base stolen, when you need that, when you're playing these close ball games, that's what I see that roster added, maybe a power of a bat that has some power in AAA that they bring up and go, wow, this guy might be able to knock one in the seats. So I think it has a lot of impact. I think that also depending on the injuries you have, you know, now what is your depth? And so it's important these decisions, and I know front offices, it's painstaking managers and coaches sitting and discussing who can help us at this point in time the most. These are extremely important decisions, especially because you're limited now.
Yeah, very much so. American League West, how much fun is this? Three teams within one game of one another. Seattle has just been on a tear of all tears as of late. They've won 4 in a row, 9 out of their last 10. Texas is a game out. Houston's a game out. Oh, by the way, Houston gets Brantley back now off the 60-day DL. So they think they've got a little bit of an advantage anyway, having his bat back in the lineup.
Well, Seattle, I mean, they've been the story, and I know – playing on the West Coast, and you hear things late, but I'm going to tell you, we hear a lot about Houston here in Texas in the Midwest, and it's been such a flip flop. I didn't see Texas going 1-9, losing 8 games in a row. I just didn't see that happening. They're 2-8 in their last 10, and Seattle not as surprised there because they are a talented bunch. I think their pitching is overachieving. Their starting pitching has younger pitchers, but with enough experience, they've really done a nice job with their pitching staff in Seattle, and they're leading the American League in pitching. And obviously, Texas is not, you know, that's been what has really hurt them. They've lost Eovaldi, they've lost DeGrom, yet they kept on scoring runs and producing because they lead the American League in hitting. But you talk about the extremes of these two teams, and, you know, Scott, you mentioned it. Look out for Houston. You know, they have the pitching to do it. They obviously have the offense to do it. And I know this hurts you, Scott, but every time I watch highlights of Houston, I see Abreu hitting a homer, flipping one down the right field line for a double and driving in more runs. I'm used to seeing that in a White Sox uniform.
Yeah, they don't be 15 under then.
You're probably right.
Well, let's talk about the White Sox a little bit. A team that is, and no disrespect, Scott, but it is what it is. The front office cleanup has happened. This team got just inexplicably 28 games under 500. What are the White Sox turn now? What kind of shape is this franchise in?
Well, I know, Scott, you follow them real closely, and I think when you look at some of their position players, they have some quality position players. They've got Benintendi signed. They've got Roberts. You've got Mankata. They're going to have to decide what they're going to end up doing with Tim Anderson. They have some quality players, but right now a struggle for them has been their starting pitching. And when you lose Lance Lynn, who's done well for the Dodgers, I know he wasn't lighting the world on fire with the White Sox, but at least you know he was going to post and go. And Giolito's gone. That hurts a lot. And you're seeing some names in starting the games that you haven't heard of. And you see guys in coming out of the bullpen you haven't heard of. And they just don't have much experience. So it's one of those things where I think if they could get the season over with faster, they would be all for that. So I really think that the core of this team is still a good ball club, especially when it comes to position players. And they do have some talent in their pitching too. But the pitching is what concerns me long term with this club. I don't know about you, Scott, but that's what really concerns me.
Well, that and they just need an attitude adjustment. I don't know how you do that. I also don't know how you promote from within, which is the way it sounds like it's going to be as far as the front office is concerned. I think just from top to bottom that this organization has been flawed for the last handful of years. They have, you know, I think they have more talent than anybody from 1 to 25 in the AL Central, and yet they're whatever they are right now. They have 80 games in the L column at this point. And really, no one – I mean, you listen to the guys, even the night that Ken Williams and Rick Hahn got fired, and they didn't even seem to care that it happened.
Yeah. You know, Scott, and I don't disagree with that. Having played against them, coached against them for the last 5 years, watching what happens, it is – without Abreu there – I think that leadership is gone more so than his bat.
Yep.
And I think that was a huge, huge mistake. But I also understand they're trying to be fiscally responsible. But for all the White Sox fans out there, Scott knows exactly what he's talking about, because Tim Anderson, Mankata, they need somebody around them to keep them focused on playing the game of baseball. And Eloy's the same way. He has a lot of fun, but you've got to stay focused. So I think they need some wholesale changes, in my opinion. Whether they'll do that or not is yet to be seen.
Cal, in the near future, what do you think reveals about Shohei Ohtani? Suffered a second UCL, shutdown pitching-wise, going to hit, I guess, a little bit, but you know, in the next couple, 3 years, will there be a market for the Angels to deal him? And is he going to be a two-way player from here on out?
Well, that's the thing. I think if he just focuses on one, I think he can be, one of the best. He's proven he can be one of the best focusing on both at the same time. But there's – that elbow is stressed. The second time you come back from Tommy John, this odds go way down, go down quite a ways, It's a lot of guys get back. But the thing is, the second Tommy John surgery usually doesn't last as long. And the first one, it's usually about 6 years, 6-7 years. The second one, shorter. Well, now this tells you, if you're a team going to make an investment in Shohei and you're going to make him a two-way player, I mean, it wasn't that long ago he had his first Tommy John. So he may have a decision to make. He may decide that he's just going to be a position player. I don't know. But I do think that those teams are going to have to make that decision. If and you have to be careful too, because I remember even watching one of the best hitters in the game, Albert Pujols, who needed a ligament reconstructive surgery, and it did limit him offensively at times. So these are really, really important decisions that he needs to make, and then it's going to obviously affect how other teams will go after him and pursue him. But I'm seeing that as a pitcher, it's gonna be limited. Maybe he could relieve and then hit. You could possibly see that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time to say, you know, I got to concentrate on DH, right field, whatever I want to do. Get my bat in there every day. Yeah, I understand he's a great pitcher, but this is two of them, and it's going to be really, really difficult to come back. Cal Elder joining us here on the Jim Glass Tuesday edition on KGYM. Little known to many baseball fans, Cal, but the team that has the third best record since the All-Star break, the Washington Nationals. Where did this come from?
Well, you know, looking at that team, I'll be honest here. I've had to look at some of the names and figure out who's who, and watched a lot of their highlights just to see, and some of their games just to see, you know, who's making the noise here. And you really look at them; they play with a lot of energy. This is another thing. This something that popped up on the ticker the other day when I was looking at my phone was the fact that they gave their manager an extension. When they gave Davey an extension, you're kind of like, huh, it made me kind of, wow. And so I did pay a little more attention to what was going on. They play with a lot of energy. They play in very intensely. And you know what? They've won a lot of games. I think that's the key. Can you keep these teams motivated? When you look at where they are in the standings and you realize, well, they're not as bad as the Mets. Yet they're only 10 games under 500. This team keeps pushing. They could be a 500 team by the end of the season. And that would be, to me, that would be a huge, huge lift in Washington right there, knowing that they could possibly hang in there with some of these other clubs in this next upcoming season.
Cal, are you paying more attention to division races or wild card chases right now?
I have to be honest, I've paid a lot of attention, and we talked about it, is to the American League West. Because I think all three of those teams at the top are dangerous teams. I applaud Seattle because I didn't quite see this coming. But after that, I'm flipping it over and handing it to the wild cards because it's going to be fun watching the Central with Milwaukee and Chicago. I'm disappointed because I feel like Cleveland kind of gave it away. Not that your Twins don't deserve to be where they are, Mark, but I feel like their pitching is still, I mean, they're still fourth in the league, in the American League. So I wish they wouldn't have kind of sold a little bit. But for me, I'm looking at the National League Central, the American League West, and then I'm looking towards the wild cards.
I'll ask you, Cal, looking at the National League Central and looking at the National League wild card race, this latest stint through a really weak schedule, I don't know if the Cubs did enough to get themselves, they right now have one game lead over San Francisco and a half game lead over Arizona. It's not an easy schedule the rest of the way. I just don't know if they separated themselves enough when they went through the Sox and the Royals and the rest of those teams.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a team that has been punched in the face with their schedule also is Miami. and even Cincinnati. So they've had a tough. Both of those teams have had a tough go of it. But you guys know San Francisco is going to play well. Arizona is having to deal with the Dodgers, you know, right now. So I still think that it's a possibility. But the great thing for the Cubs is the fact that they are playing Milwaukee right now. They're playing meaningful games. They have both the wild card race and the division race that keeps them energized. Because the month of September, guys, when you're in that race, you don't really need to sleep. The adrenaline keeps you going, and it's a fun time.
Yeah, last from me, and maybe we can answer the American League part of the equation next time. But National League Cy Young, Spencer Strider, Justin Steele goes for another win tonight. Zach Gallen's had a heck of a year. Where do you lean?
Man, you know, and you look at Gallen has had to do it on a team that has, I mean, they've kind of been riding the wave the last month. You look at Strider, and man, I mean, that guy's nasty. I mean, his slider is ridiculous. But Steele, in a way, has, you know, very young, led a staff. No, I don't think too many people expected the Cubs to be in the position they're in. So for me, I start looking at it and thinking, okay. And I know you're not hearing me talk about swing and miss or spin rates and, you know, the barrel rates and all that good stuff, that the metrics that people want to hear. I look at it like, which one was most valuable to their team and made the biggest difference? And I think Steele actually helped make his team believe that they're a good team. And maybe Gallen's done that too, but it's tough. I think it's going to be fun to watch. And I think depending on how guys go, this group of pitchers go in September, we'll see who ends up coming out on top.
If the Padres were doing anything, I think it might be Blake Snell. But I don't think you can give him Cy Young on that team.
No, and you're right, he has been absolutely filthy. I talked to John Mabry the other day, his assistant hitting coach with Miami, and he said that was really good stuff. So he's been impressive.
Very impressive indeed. All right. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, and we'll know a little bit more. Maybe teams will separate by then, and maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be even more jumbled. I don't know. Enjoy your baseball.
You bet. Enjoy it. Sit back it still makes you feel like summer's here. So enjoy it.
Very true. Thanks, Cal. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
Cal Elder joins us here on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday, right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Before we get to a break, Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock each day, except for Sunday. And they got some great stuff there. The Cuban, the Reuben. They've got the Chicken Rangoon. Everything you want. Appetizers and more. And they are local. So stop on by. Sit on the patio. Open at 4, Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. What do you got, Mark?
My stomach's growling. That's what I got.
I know. I shouldn't. Everyone is growling right now.
On the scoreboard today, New York Yankees have released third baseman Josh Donaldson, acquired a couple years ago from the Twins for Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. Donaldson and the Yankees might have got the best of that, but not by much. Let's run through some NFL cuts involving Iowans and others. It appears Kevin Merriweather of Iowa has made the Tampa Bay roster among the cuts. Christian Kirksey and Desmond King released by Houston. Max Duggan, the former standout college quarterback, released by the Chargers. Mike Rose of Iowa State, the linebacker, cut by Miami. And Tennessee has cut Ben Neiman. In a trade announced, Amir Smith-Marset traded by the Chiefs to Carolina. And as suspected by a texter yesterday, since acquiring Trey Lance, Will Grier was cut by the Dallas Cowboys. And finally, the 132nd edition of the Cornell football game has been moved up 2 hours Saturday because of the impending heat warnings. Originally scheduled for 1, it will now kick off at 11 a.m. Saturday in Mount Vernon.
Another great meeting of the longest rivalry west of the Mississippi between Coe and Cornell. No toilet paper involved in this one. That's basketball. By the way, speaking of NFL cuts, you mentioned Smith Marset traded to Carolina by the Chiefs. It looks as though, according to most of the folks that are the beat writers for the Chiefs, that Jack Cochran has made the Chiefs. So that's good news for the former Mount Vernon product. Take a break. Come back. David Eicholt will join us, and we will talk Iowa football when we return on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be a bit of a hazy day today, but we'll have plenty of sunshine and temperatures will be in the low to mid 80s. Humidity will be dropping through the afternoon, and then tonight with clear skies, we'll cool down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, we are going to have a nice fall-like day, temperatures around 80 with sunny skies and humidity nice and low. It'll be another comfortable day on Thursday. Warmer air starts to build in for Friday and the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Now in Menard. Save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Update your home's exterior with a coordinated look. Get the Treehouse Outdoor Wall Light for $21.97 after 11% rebate. Visit our lighting showroom or check out all our lighting options on Menards.com. Good through September 4th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Think of everything you love about your life, the people you've met, the family you've built. Now imagine it all went away in an instant. When you take a drug laced with fentanyl, even by mistake, that's the chance you take. It may be in cocaine, heroin, meth, even illegal pills that look real. And you might not know until it's too late. Remember, you don't know what contains fentanyl. Learn more at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
It's Spencer on Sports now from 4 until 6. And he's going to have Coach's Cuts from Network Computer Solutions. And we thank them for helping out with Coach's Cuts each week on Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6 right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. If you have a question for our next guest, we're going to talk Iowa football. David Eicholt, who covers the Hawkeyes, kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday on KGYM. And busy day, David. It was. It felt like normal, though, I bet, being down at the football complex, right?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so nice to be back. I mean, I think I'm like everybody else. I'm tired of projecting. I'm just ready to see some sort of substance on the field and an actual football to talk about. So it was great to be back out there, and I cannot wait for week one of college football, just in general. It's good to be back.
Well, and that, and not only that, but that not as much gambling talk or anything of the ilk today.
Yeah, no doubt about that at all. It's been, and I understand the storyline, and I understand why it's been important and why it's been a big deal. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you could have summed it up any better than that. I'm ready to actually talk about players, the stories behind the players, and not so much the gambling, just on the field, the product, and the excitement. I mean, I would say take the gambling aside of everything. I think this has been one of the more exciting off seasons that I, at least I've been a part of since I started covering this team.
David, help us sort out Cade McNamara's situation. It's the big question hanging over the opener. Kirk Ferentz said he's probably questionable, but cleared medically. You probably visited with McNamara. What's the bottom line here?
The bottom line is wait and see. I hate to say that. I'd love to give you any more clarification, but just me reading between the lines, I think there's a couple things to take note. One, if this was a conference game, I 100% believe Cade McNamara is playing. Okay. I think if it was a game where it actually would have an impact on the race and where Iowa could potentially end up, and Iowa was not, 25.5 to 26-point favorites, I believe Cade would be a lock to play. I think getting cleared medically is a big deal. But the other thing is, if Cade's been practicing and he's been taking a lot of the one reps, it does not make sense to rest him unless he really isn't 100%, he can't scramble out or anything of the sort. Take out last season when he played for Michigan for, a half before he got hurt, maybe a game and a half. Cade needs reps. He needs game reps. I think it's a tricky kind of situation because do you want his first real in-game reps to come against Iowa State? And look, I know Iowa fans don't like Iowa State. They don't think they're going to be good. I still think Iowa State's going to have a formidable defense. I think they return some good playmakers. I think they could cause some problems in certain situations. I think getting Cade out there from that standpoint would be great for the in-game reps. And on top of that, this fan base, I think, needs a morale boost. I mean, they've waited all offseason to see Cade McNamara play quarterback. That's a big reason why I think they sold out this upcoming season after the disaster offensively that we saw last year. If I had to put a guess on it, I would still be a little bit surprised if Cade does not play. I think Cade's going to advocate for it as long as there's no setback in the next 48 hours. I think if he's cleared medically, I think you have to play Cade McNamara just to get him back in game rhythm.
I agree with you 110%. I know that's not possible, but if it was, I would agree with it. Best case scenario for Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, for Cade McNamara, for anyone involved, is that Iowa goes out, looks great, throws touchdowns on the board, first four drives, and you sit him down the second half and see what Deacon Hill can do.
Absolutely. No question. I think they go up 28-3, 28-0. You're feeling comfortable enough to throw Deacon Hill or whoever else in there, and you let him go. And I think the other side of it, too, is this is a game where Iowa should be running the football more anyway. I know people want to see the deep downfield passes, but Utah State was not good last year at defending the run. They lost several key playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. This is a game where Caleb Johnson should be getting 25 carries and 150 yards and two touchdowns. So even if Cade's not, quote-unquote, 100%, but he's cleared, tinker the game plan. Run with Caleb Johnson a lot. Get some of those quick slants in there. Maybe set up a play action or two, but don't do anything kind of over the top. And like you said, get a couple touchdowns, get up early, and take him out.
As far as Utah State goes, a prohibitive underdog, I know that. But it was 6-7 last year. Won the league 2 years ago. And, David, whether it's Utah State or anybody, it's hard to figure teams with the transfer portal. I don't know how active Utah State was, but I'm sure it did things to improve its defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've certainly addressed a couple issues. And let's keep in mind, too, I know people want to roll their eyes at Utah State, but Blake Anderson's a really good coach. I mean, he was at Arkansas State for a while. He was the offensive coordinator at North Carolina, and he's an offensive-minded guy. It's a guy who put up, 44 points a game at home over two seasons, right? And they also returned some playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, they're getting a new defensive coordinator. I still think there's going to be some growing pains in there. And let's also talk about this for a second. I don't think we can assume any defense is bad enough to let Iowa score a lot of points just based off what we saw last year. Right? Like, why are we giving the Iowa offense the benefit of the doubt at this point? Yes, they got Cade McNamara. Yes, they got Eric All. Yes, they stepped up in the transfer portal for wide receivers. But it's not a guarantee that Iowa's offense could score against anybody at this point. So, again, on paper, it looks better. But at this point, we got to see it to believe it. We got to see them execute no matter who's across the other side of the ball and no matter how bad their defense is statistically.
I was just going to ask you, how long will it be, you know, the honeymoon for Cade McNamara, if indeed he is in there, until the Hawkeye fans assembled at Kinnick on Saturday remember, oh, yeah, 25 points. we want to see Caleb Brown. We want to see Son of Flipper. We want to see Eric Gall and throw the ball around a little bit. But, you know, that still is in the background.
I think, yeah, and the players act like they never heard of the 25 points per game, and we all know. Like, I don't blame them for saying they hadn't heard of it, but let's be real. Everybody in the nation who relatively pays attention to college football at this point knows it. It is a running joke, but I also think that Iowa's done a really good job of sort of tuning that out, and they have their own expectations. But you're right. I think Iowa fans want to see Eric Gall. I think Eric Gall is going to put up a huge season. I mean, I think he's out to prove his back is 100%. This is a guy that would be playing on Sundays this season had he not hurt his back last year. And I think it's very important to remember that. But I think Iowa fans will be a little bit patient. I think the most, you know, demoralizing thing for them is if Cade doesn't go out there, right? I think Cade's presence alone would be a big, big deal. But Iowa goes out there, zone right, fullback dive, 3-yard out route on 3rd and 7. That might be where the boo birds come in. But again, I also think with so many new pieces, no matter who you're playing against, you have to get that in-game chemistry. You have to get that timing down. I think if Iowa struggles in the first half like they did against Colorado State a couple years ago, then I think folks are getting pretty antsy. But I don't think if Iowa goes out there and struggles for the first drive or two, I would like to think they won't overreact. I don't think the swarm golden ale will have taken effect yet. If it was a 3 o'clock game, maybe it would have. But I think if we're at 11 o'clock, I think their patience will be at least a little bit more okay.
David, my main focus Saturday, we'll see what you say, is not necessarily on McNamara and the quarterback, but the offensive line. We know that any quarterback can't be effective without a good offensive line. Indications are it's going to be better. Indications are it has depth. Perhaps we'll see some mixing and matching. I don't know. But if Iowa can't move the ball against Utah State, they're going to have some issues.
Fans will be needing a lot more swarm beer if they don't move the ball well against Utah State and Western Michigan, right? Like, because, again, I think they've done everything right on paper. I think that I gave them an A in the transfer portal because they landed an Ohio State guy. They landed a Big Ten champion at quarterback. They landed an all-Big Ten tight end in Eric Gall. They got Seth Anderson, who I think, based on what I've seen and heard, he probably should have been recruited a little bit more when he entered the transfer portal because I've heard really, really good things about him. They got Rusty Feth. They got Dijon Parker. But you're right. The offensive line is where it's going to be. I think it's a make or break year for George Barnett. I still think he's the right guy to lead Iowa's offensive line. And if Iowa just gets back to their normal sort of high floor consistency at the offensive line group, I think Iowa's the team to beat in the Big Ten West. I think on paper they return the most starters and they have the most upside of the group of the Big Ten West. So I think Logan Jones is poised for a big year. I really, really want to see Jennings Dunker, Dijon Parker, and Mason Richmond hold down at offensive tackle. If Iowa can get their tackle situation at least okay, I feel good about them going forward. Because I think Connor Colby, for example, is in for a big bounce back year. I think they've settled him back in at right guard, and that's where he needs to stay. But I think it'll take a couple weeks for us to really see what they are. But you're right, indications from Kirk Ferentz, from the offensive line, talking behind the scenes to people. There's a quiet sense of optimism, I think, about this offensive line.
David Eicholt joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, covers the Hawks for 24/7 Sports. David, the Noah Shannon, the appeal process has begun. He is not going to be in the game coming up on Saturday against Utah State. I guess when one door closes, another one opens, and that might be the situation for Yaha Black. We may see him jump through that door coming up in the first few weeks. See, I think he has that ability.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember the picture a couple weeks ago that came out during a video. Somebody screenshotted him standing next to the defensive lineman. He is a large, human being. I think the thing is, he's just needed to stay healthy to really kind of piece everything together. And he's been able to do that. I think he's a guy who can step up. He can have a big year. I think he is an NFL prospect, at least. And another guy I'm going to throw in there, and I've been raving about, Aaron Graves could be the Lucas Van Ness on this year's team. Not that he's eligible to go to the NFL, but a guy that doesn't start, but maybe is an all Big Ten caliber guy. 6'5" 295 pounds, puts on a casual 20 pounds of muscle this offseason. I don't know where he had the muscle, because I didn't think there was any more room for him to grow after I stood next to him last year. But his ability is absolutely off the charts. Was the Max Preps Athlete of the Year. Throw him in there with Logan Lee. Throw him in there with Y.A. Black. I mean, you're right. I think this Iowa defensive line group, it's in a very, very good spot. I also think with the inexperience at linebacker, the defensive line's got to carry a little bit more weight than it has in the past couple of seasons, but I think this is one of Kirk Ferentz's deepest defensive line groups that he's had since he's been at Iowa.
The pride of Dayton, Iowa, by the way, Aaron Graves.
He is. The crazy part is, also, I think he's only like 60 credits away or 40 credits away from getting his bachelor's degree, and he's a true sophomore. Like, he got his associate's degree before his high school degree. He's just... He's an impressive kid.
I would agree with you on Graves and Shannon. I think it speaks volumes that Shannon was named to the leadership group. I mean, for whatever that's worth.
I think it's big, too. And then we talked to Joe Evans a little bit today, and Joe Evans just said, Noah's our guy. We're riding with him. And I think how adamant Kirk Ferentz has been about defending him publicly time and time again, and the team voting into that leadership group, it just sort of stacks in the fact that, one, again, I think people misconstrue, Noah Shannon has not done anything illegal. He just got involved in the NCAA gambling stuff. Not that he hasn't done anything wrong, but legally he's still clean. And he did not bet on his own games that he's played in. So, again, I think it's a sign of unity, and I think they're going to kind of ride or die by him until we see what happens with his eligibility.
Hey, last one from me, David. This linebacking crew, it's all new. They've got great pedigrees. Jackson coming in from Virginia, et cetera, et cetera. Jay Higgins kind of waiting in the wings. I think they're going to be a strength for Iowa, but a lot of this is new for these guys on a starting basis anyway at Kinnick Stadium coming up on Saturday.
You know, I think back to something. Obviously, for Nick Jackson, it's a big adjustment. They did not play similar schemes at all, but this is a guy with 352 career tackles, has an outstanding resume. Talked to him for probably 15 minutes today. Really impressive human being, very smart guy. So I'm not surprised that he's really picked up the defense as well as he has, supposedly. But remember, when Justin Jacobs was here, when Seth Benson was here, when Jack Campbell was here, they had not gone through the last two spring practices, whether it be just off-season cleanup injuries, et cetera. So everybody behind them has been getting that starting rep. Now, game speed's completely different, but those backups are probably as well-equipped of backups as they can possibly be because they've gotten so many reps in spring ball, so many reps in fall camp over the past couple of years that, you know, at some point they're going to have to step in there and make some things happen, but they're prepared if they need to go in there. Might have an error or two, but I know Seth is very confident just because of the level of preparation that the backups have had over the past couple of seasons.
Well, you've gone on record saying that Iowa is going to win the Big Ten West. So
I have them beating Penn State, too. So I don't know. It's going to be a fun year, and I cannot wait for none of that to come back and bite me in the butt.
Hey, that's what predictions are for, my friend. That's what they're for. All right. David, thanks. Appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and give him a follow on Twitter. Does great stuff with everything down in Iowa City. Thanks, man.
I appreciate you guys. Take care. Have a fun week.
You bet. David Eichel joining us, covers the Hawks for 24/7 Sports here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. Come back to wrap things up after this.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
O'Reilly. This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to hear how I almost got off the naughty list this year? I helped Santa save gazillions by having him download Capital One Shopping to his computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. You can download it too and save a bundle. You don't even need a Capital One card and it's free. So why didn't I get off the naughty list? Turns out Santa's a stickler for naughty words. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
Back to wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. He will have audio from Kirk Ferentz and players from Iowa City earlier on today, perhaps from Matt Campbell and Iowa State, as well as the Cyclones and the Panthers go at it on Saturday. We'll have it at 11 o'clock for you right here on KGYM with a 1 o'clock kickoff. Speaking of the Cyclones, Cyclone Coaches Show tonight beginning at 6:30 until 8 o'clock coming up this evening. Tomorrow, Chris Liss will join us from Real Man Sports in conjunction with rotowire.com. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. And then coming up on Thursday, Rob Gray covers the Cyclones for both Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette will join us, as well as Jason Turner from the Logan Herald Journal, who covers Utah State football, Mark. So it's football week, man. We're ready to go.
We are ready to go, and congratulations to Todd on his new time slot this morning, and looking forward to Spencer's new show from 4 to 6 right after us. We'll just stay put and leave it at that, okay?
We're going to stay put. We're going to stay put. And, yeah, get your fantasy football questions ready to go for Chris tomorrow and get those answered. Don't forget our knockout pool available at KGYMradio.com, also brought to you by I'm On Communications. As we mentioned, all of those cuts finalized as far as the National Football League is concerned. They had to be in by 3 o'clock Central Time. And we're going to see some practice squad signings coming up, I'm sure. And you can still do okay on the practice squad, Mark. And you're only one snap away from being back on the active roster.
It's not a bad thing. Better than being released. Nobody cares about you anymore. And you got to find a real job. So, yeah, we'll bring you those practice squad players tomorrow.
Yep, going to be a lot of those that are going to be coming down the line indeed. So that'll be in the next few hours or so. All right, Spencer on Sports, the expanded jumbo edition coming up next between 4 and 6. Hope you enjoyed the program. If you missed any of our shows or any of the other local shows, go to our podcast, available at kgymradio.com, Apple, or Spotify. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night, everybody.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, hey, eat-ups, and hurry-ups.